As Lisa announced this morning, we are exploring through this month in many dimensions what it means to be an immigrant. In scripture, in story, in contemporary issues and questions, in action throughout this month. One of the questions that was asked in preparations for next week's session with our immigration lawyer guest was, can the rule of immigration law be reconciled with the biblical mandate to welcome the immigrant and stranger to be one in the household of God? I hope that as we ponder these questions through this month and in our scripture this day, as we reflect upon what Judy has read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, that we will see God in new ways and live out of that scene. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you call us to be one people in you through Christ. Be with us, we pray, in this hour, that we might sense the unity that you have given to us in your household, the citizenship that we have in you. Bless now our reflections on this word, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen. It is to the unity of our oneness in Christ that we turn this World Communion Sunday to this rich text in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The church is called to become the dwelling place of God. Where do we see that in this Ephesians passage? What makes a congregation a dwelling place for God? First of all, I think we need to recognize that the transformation of that is a spiritual transformation. Paul writes that those who are near and those who are far off have access to the one Spirit of the Father, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. As Kay Huggins says in her Bible study on Ephesians, it is not ultimately our efforts or our rules for behavior that we may come up to that makes that so, but the power of Christ to break down the dividing walls of hostility, to even abolish the law with its commandments and ordinances in order to create one new humanity in place of the two, making peace. It is the work of Christ which calls us into community. As we express it in this church's mission statement, that we pray and hope to be a welcoming and inclusive community of faith committed to Jesus Christ. We are bold to confess openly that Jesus Christ is our unity, the cornerstone of our faith. And it is through Jesus that we are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens and members of the household of God. Our scripture text today begins by naming the reality that there are and can be significant differences amongst people. It doesn't skirt them. The passage begins with naming and recognizing those differences, which were very real differences in the early church. Christianity was an offshoot of Judaism. It presupposed the knowledge and following of the Judaic law. In Old Testament times, the issue of the stranger and the alien in the midst of the people of Israel was very real. They were sometimes exhorted not to mix on many occasions. But there was also a grand strain of scripture, as we saw it this morning in our looking at scriptural foundations, that reminded us that we are one in God. There was, in those early days of the church, however, a great debate in the Council of Jerusalem about whether Gentile Christians, those outside the Jewish faith, could really be accepted as true believers without first going through the path and the laws of Judaism. A good example of this distinction was in the temple itself. The temple rail which separated the court of the Gentiles and the court of women in the Jerusalem temple, and then the men stood up front and sat up front. This fence between the temple, between the court of women and the court of Gentiles, had a warning inscription that no man of another race is to enter within the fence and enclosure around the temple. It reminded non-Jews that they must keep their distance from Israel's sacred shrine. It was a screen of marble, warning of instant death if a Gentile passed that line. Our text in Ephesians says that Christ, in Christ's life, death, and resurrection, has made us one and has broken down the dividing wall, a direct reference to that temple wall, in a literal and a figurative sense, that all might be one together. Yet not only by the New Testament scripture is this true, it's the theme also in the Old Testament. Throughout the prophet Isaiah, his writings and words, many of them written while Israel itself was in exile from its homeland, Isaiah is full of the promise of light and hope for all people of God, not just the Israelites. So what does this mean to our lives? And how does it call us to live in this time? How has Christ taken hold of our lives, and how is God at work in transforming them? When have we listened to the voice of the alien, the stranger? When have we welcomed the other into the dwelling place of God? When have we reached out to understand the stranger or the alien's circumstances, to reach out in care? As we think of immigration this month on Sunday mornings in study and in worship together, in Bible study on Tuesday nights, we are reminded in this text in Ephesians that we are all immigrants into the faith, welcomed through Christ's activity into the household of faith. We just spent a month celebrating baptism in the life of this community. As we grow together as a household of faith, we come from many different places, all united in our belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We must, I think, remember that history, that story of faith for ourselves, and we must also, as we think about what it is like to live in our larger society as immigrants of faith and as immigrants of this country, we need to remember our own immigration story, our heritage of coming to this country. There are none of us in this room who grew on this soil, I believe, alone. Somewhere back in all of our history is that story of how lines of our family came to this country. In my case, the Johnson who signed the Declaration of Independence came in the 1600s to be part of this world and in this country. And on another side of my family, my great-grandfather Nakowitz immigrated from Poland around the turn of the 1900s. We can find no record of him entering through Ellis Island. And we also know that from my grandmother's story that when she was asked what he did for a living, that she didn't remember what he did, but she did remember that Al Capone was over at their house a lot. We come from many different places into this community. This morning at 9 o'clock, we had the opportunity to wrestle with Scripture and what Scripture has to say about the alien and the stranger, about how we are to treat the alien and the stranger in our midst, and how to remember that we too were once aliens in the household of Christ, in the household of God. We learned, and we learned that hospitality was the law for treating foreigners and strangers, often at great peril for the host. And we learn in Ephesians today that it is Christ alone who is our peace. At the root of our unity in Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, with a power beyond anything that we can ask or imagine, calling us to be one people of God together, calling the church to become the dwelling place of God, a place where God's message is rightly preached and lived, not just in Sunday worship, but through the week by our lives. Churches could be at the forefront of pressing advocacy for immigrants locally and nationally, to helping those who live in the shadows come out into the light, as a recent declaration of the Presbyterian Church puts it. We can certainly be at the front lines of learning the stories of one another and providing care for one another in the everyday issues of immigrants in our midst, to welcome strangers so that they are no longer strangers, but truly citizens in the household of God. We are here this World Communion Sunday to declare that there is nothing that can divide those who find hope and salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. For as Paul writes, in him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple of God, built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Let us, as a people seeking to follow and attend to Jesus Christ, live into that promise today and always, and step out to bring it alive in practical ways to our world. Amen.